for Zechariah. Bachoidesh Hashim.
Leyom Zikaron.
What do you mean?
Zechariah,
that's right. Yom HaZikaron. That is correct. Very good. It's very apropos, timely, a timely sefer. Bachoidesh Hashmini b'shnashtayim lidar yovesh. So now we're going to the Chodesh Hashmini. We're going over here backwards in time, okay? Because I mean, Sefer Chagai. That was the question. We're not going to go through the whole thing again. But Chodesh Hashmini is Chodesh Cheshvan. Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. Our Mechol is here now. It's Chodesh Cheshvan. B'shnashtayim l'Dayovesh. In the second year of the Malchus of Dayovesh, Hoya Dvar Hashem El Zecharia ben Berechia. Zechariah ben Berechiah, this is in the Kinois, in the first Kinah of the morning on Tisha B'Av, Kinah Vav, ben Berechiah, he's the one that's going to say, Oid Yeshu Zekeinu Zekeinus Berechavos Yerushalayim. The day will come when the Zekeinim Zekeinus Berechavos Yerushalayim, they're going to be sitting there once again, they're going to be children playing in front of them, not to be confused with Zechariah ben Yehoyada. Okay, there are two very, very famous Zechariahs in Tanakh. There's Zechariah ben Berechiah and Zechariah ben Yehoyada. They lived about 200 years apart. I don't know, 200, but maybe a little bit less. Zechariah ben Yehoyada was a Navi. He was a Kohen. He was the son of Yehoyada. Yehoyada HaKohen is the one that hid Melech Yehoyash in the Beis Hamikdash, at the time when Izebel murdered all of the Zerah HaMalucha, and Yehoyada and his wife were instrumental, or single-handedly in fact, in saving the Zerah of David by hiding this little boy, the last survivor of the Malchus of David that was eligible to be the Melech, in the attic of the Kodesh HaKodashim. And he had a son, and his son, his name was Zechariah. Same exact name, Zechariah ben Yehoyada. And this Zechariah ben Yehoyada was murdered by Klal Yisrael on Yom Kippur, Shechal Lihi Yois B'Shabbos, when he was giving Musar to Klal Yisrael not to worship idols. The sin was so great that his blood bubbled in the Beis HaMikdash, in the place where he was killed for at least 100 years, I don't know the exact number of years, until Nebuzaradan arrived in Eretz Yisrael to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He came across the blood that was bubbling. He asked the people, what is this unusual thing that I see, blood bubbling in the Beis HaMikdash? They told him, oh, it's just an animal. It was a carbon that was slaughtered. It's very unusual, this blood that's bubbling from a carbon. And Nebuzaradan knew that this was not true. He sensed that they were lying to him. He made an investigation and he discovered indeed this was the blood of Zechariah ben Yehoyada that had been murdered at the hands of Klal Yisrael for no good reason. And he then said, I will appease the blood. I will appease this blood. And he began to murder the Talmidei Chachamim, all of the greatest members of Klal Yisrael. And then he murdered other people, children. He ended up, I think Chazal say, murdering over 800,000, maybe more, 800,000, I don't remember the exact numbers, an astronomical number of people that were murdered on the site of this blood in order to appease the blood, and the blood still did not stop bubbling. He then said to the blood, Zechariah, I've already removed, murdered the best of Klal Yisrael. Do you want me to finish them off, to murder them all? And at that moment, the blood stopped bubbling. Okay, so that Zechariah is Zechariah ben Yehoyada. Not to be confused with Zechariah ben Berechiah. Berechiah, who is a different Zechariah, who is living now much later, living now 70 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So if you add up the numbers, Zechariah ben Yehoyada was at least 100 years before the... Oh, Ramayevsky is here. Okay, I have to turn this thing around. Ramayevsky is here, okay. Wow, okay. All right, soon, I'll turn around soon. Okay, When I came here before, Ramayevsky is here today. There's no one here before. but I'll turn around a little bit later. Okay, so Zechariah ben, so these, not to confuse these two of, now that it's very important to take that into consideration, because you know what's so interesting in here is that you have one pasuk with two people that have the same name. There's Daryovesh HaParsi and Daryovesh HaMadi, and there's Zechariah ben Yehoyada and Zechariah ben Berechia. Now, for us in the 21st century, it's no big deal to have a person that has the same name, because there are only, I mean, you probably can't even count the number of Yoels there are out there, right? You can't calculate how many Menachem Mendels are there out there. How many, okay, today, all right, you have a name, everyone, there are a lot of names that go around. But in Tanakh, it's not the way it is. In Tanakh, there's almost no overlap. There's almost no one. Everyone is unique. Everyone has a unique name. We don't appreciate how jarring it is to find in Tanakh two people that have the same name. It's just not. That's not the way it goes. This is not the way it was. These are the people who are the Nevi'im. These are the great. It was not behashkocha. There should be two people that have the same name, because a name captures the essence of who you are. And the goal of Tanakh is to present individuals who are unique and who are responsible for creating Klal Yisrael, for establishing the world. And if two people have the same name, that's overlap. It's redundant. Okay, I see that you have the Ishi HaTanach in front of you. I see your Rav Kalman took out the Ishi HaTanach. You're looking for people that have... No, it's not the Sefer? What?
Korach you have twice.
No, you have more than that.
I know, but Korach is the first one.
Korach, I think it's three or four.
Korach in the Gemara.
No, you have Korach in Bereishis. Aluf from Esau.
Okay. So the others. So it's interesting. This itself is a very interesting topic in and of itself. To collect all the people in Tanakh that have the same name, the overlap of names. Because again, a name really captures the essence, the uniqueness. The uniqueness of who a person is. Today, it's not a big deal today, but not in Tanakh. And when you learn over here, now what is you know, really bizarre, over the top, is here you have one pasuk, and in this one pasuk you have two people, and both people in this one pasuk have the same name. I mean, what are the chances that would happen? The chances that you would have two people that have the same name in Tanakh itself goes against the grain of how we look at
maybe
names.
It's just not famous people.
And then no, these are famous people. These are
no,
these
no. I mean, famous people, not. But there were a lot of people in Eretz Yisrael who, from a million Jews, they had a very
okay.
Same.
But if in Tanakh they made their way in Tanakh to have two people that have the same, and then on top of that they should appear in the same pasuk, there's something very, very big going on over here.
By the way, the name Zach is in the top 10 now of boys' names
in Eretz Yisrael,
in America.
In America, Zach.
Zach.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why Zach? Who's the big yichus of Zach?
Zach is
they
back.
Go through,
interesting. So here, this something to me is really shocking. We had him already in Sefer, his name is coming up again and again. This is Daryovesh HaParsi, the son of Esther. But we discussed a little bit that it wasn't an accident that his name was Daryovesh, because he was a throwback to Daryovesh HaMadi, who was the end of Nebuchadnezzar. That was the conqueror of Nebuchadnezzar. And then in the same passage we have Zechariah. Now, of course, we have his father's name in Berechia, but not to be confused with Zechariah ben Yehoyada. Is there significance here in the repetition of one passage of the two names? There has to be. Maybe we'll come across something that will give us more insight into this idea. Okay, so we have Zechariah ben Berechia ben Idai Hanavi Lamar. So here we have, this is the introduction to the Sefer. Now let's take a look over here at the Mitzvot David. Let's run through some of the ideas. There's not a lot of Farshim on the first Pasuk, but the Mitzvot David says here, there is no Mitzvot David. There's Rashi. Let's look at the Rashi. Rashi, Nevuah Zechariah Stuma, he me'oid. The Nevuah of Zechariah is Stuma, is concealed, ki yeshba marois doimos lachaloim hanitan lepisroim. His Nevuah, there's not much that we understand about his prophecy. He has visions which are like dreams, and more often than not, a dream makes no sense. Person goes to sleep, his mind wanders, he sees things which totally make no sense, and you need to go to a dream interpreter. And Anitan Lepisroin, the Ein Onu Yechoylim Lamoid Al Anitus Pisroinoi Ad Yavoi V'yore Moirit Tzedek. Okay, these are very beautiful words of Rashi. Assume that Rashi wrote these words. And we have no way to know the Anitus, that's a very beautiful word, the emes, the truth of this interpretation, until the Melech HaMashiach will come, the Yavoi V'yore will teach. Yer means to teach, or the Moray Tzedek. Okay, Ulufi Hayecholas Etain, Ulufi Hayecholas, according to our abilities. Etain Lev Liyashiv Hamigrois Echod Echod Min Hapisroinois Hadoy Meloi. We will make our best attempt. We will apply our hearts. Liyashiv, to clarify the psukim, Echod Echod Min Hapisroinois Hadoy Meloi, one at a time, the interpretation which fits the words, the Achar Pisroinoi Shel Yoinason. Here, you know, we speak the interpretation of Yoinason Ben Uziel the Targum. Now, I find this very interesting because, to the best of my knowledge, and I'm probably wrong, Rashi in Chumash, probably easy to do a search. I should really search in Sefaria. Rashi in Chumash, to the best of my knowledge, never quotes Yoinason Ben Uziel. Am I wrong?
I don't remember.
Okay, do you recall a Rashi ever quoting Yoinason Ben Uziel? Rashi quotes Unkelus. Ketargumoi, he agrees, he doesn't agree, he ignores. Rashi is clearly obsessed with Targum Unkelus, clearly. That's the whole shiur we learned in the afternoon. Clearly obsessed, either accepting, rejecting, ignoring. Rashi gets all worked up over Targum Unkelus. But to the best of my knowledge, and it could be I'm wrong, he never ever deals with Targum Yonason Ben Uziel on Chamishe Chumshe Torah. It's not part of his vocabulary. It's not part of his library to look and see what he says and discuss it. And either does he quote the Targum Yushalmi, he just ignores it. And here, he says over here, there is no Targum Unkelus, on Nevim and Ksuvim, certainly not on Ksuvim. And the Chazal say this.
Well, that's because Chazal tell us that the main targum of Torah is Unkelus, and the main targum of Nevim and Ksuvim is Yarsin. So
okay,
Rashi will go according to that.
Okay, but Rashi cites Medrash, Rashi cites the Talmud. Yonason ben Uziel l'cho'ora, his commentary, his translation preceded, I'm assuming it preceded the Medrash.
The truth is that if you really follow Targum Yonason,
yes,
in 90% of the Targum Yonason you will find the Medrash Muvla in the Targum Yonason. If you look at Targum Yonason, it doesn't really take. You know, if you're reading it, you're saying, oh, that's this Medrash, that this Chazal. So he'll basically go that way. The only thing I wanted to say.
I know, but it's just going to be Medrash. It's not a Likud. You can't say that it's a pure Likud. There's got to be more to it than a Likud. Same Kedusha.
No, Rashi commonly quotes Targum Yonason. I turn to a random page, and I put it right there. Of course he quotes
it. Oh, Rashi does quote him? Yes. Wait, give me an example.
You may not see the word Targum Yonason.
No.
But he quotes him frequently.
He does? The Chumash?
I just turned to a random page.
He won't say Targum Yonason. He'll say Medrashai. And you take a look. Targum Yonason is talking about his Maramas, the Medrash, and his Targum.
We have to look.
Targum Yonason is more of a Pirish than a Targum.
All right, we have to look into this, okay? Because this would define very much the role of Targum Yonis. What is the role of the Targum? This itself is a topic of itself which I know nothing about, but this is just very interesting here where Rashi, where I mean, in Nach, the only Targum is Targum Yonison. That's the only Targum in Nach. So he and we have it all, often. He does quote the Targum, which is Targum Yonison. All right, let's see. Okay, but this is
also something else that you could say is because the Targum Yonison, the Targum on Novi, in general, is very, very awesome. Like the Gemara gives the expression, "Vayomahu Yigdal HaHesped," that the Hesped will be so great, and without the Targum Yonison, you would not have an idea what he's talking about. The Gemara, that's what the Gemara talks about in that sugya. But the other thing that I wanted to say is that Rashi says that it's all a chaloyim, and we don't understand the pisrim.
Yeah.
But then Chazal tell us,
exactly.
It's up to us to
exactly. You put the words out of my mouth.
Interpret the chalaimus that he is talking about in a very positive light, and the pisrim would be a much better one. That just a personal thought.
No, you're saying exactly what I wanted to say now. You're saying exactly. What our Kalos is saying is that when Rashi here says it's a chaloyim, it means that this nevu is different than all of the other nevuos. All the other nevuos, the interpretation is etched in stone. It's already explained. It's telling us what's going to happen. The nevuah of Zechariah is subject to the way we want to make it come out. It's raw, and it's up to us to determine what the interpretation will be. Just like we have a principle that kol hachaloimos holchim achar hapeh, the interpretation of a dream depends upon the interpreter. You have a dream, it's raw material. If you go to this interpreter, he'll give you this interpretation. If you go to that one, he'll give you a different interpretation. And what will happen, what will you be your future? It will depend on who interprets your dream. Whoever interprets your dream will mold the outcome of what will be. This nevuah is a chaloim, and it's up to us, Klal Yisrael, who learn and study, to determine what it means. If you give it a positive interpretation, then the result will be positive. If you, chas v'shalom, give it a negative interpretation, then the result will be negative. What will determine if of course we're going to want to go give it a positive interpretation? Well, not necessarily. No. When we read it today, and we read it against the backdrop of what's going on, automatically thoughts pop into our mind, and it forces us almost to understand the words in a certain way. When we're living in times, different times, every generation, they're living against the backdrop of a different type of situation, automatically the events of the day have an influence on your thinking and on the insights that you read into the pasuk. And when you read into the pasuk, and that influences your interpretation of the words of the pasuk, and that will thus result in a different outcome, a different result in what's going to happen.
Like a Rorschach test.
What?
You know what a Rorschach test is?
No.
It's an ambiguous figure.
Yeah. And, you look at a picture and see what it says to you.
Psychologists will ask you to interpret. To say, what does that figure look like to you?
And all depends on your interpretation.
Psychiatrists, that's the first thing they do for you. Yeah.
So this is a very fascinating Rashi telling us that this Nevu is going to be extremely unique relative to all the other Nevus that we have learned.
But another thing.
Yeah.
It's futuristic, right?
Yeah.
And the future is intentionally vague and ambiguous.
Not always. Not always. There are many psukim in Tanakh which are very crystal clear what's going to be.
The long-term future?
Yeah. There are many psukim,
Chumash. You don't want to deal with it, but we, you know inside, you know what it's saying to you, but you don't want to, you don't want to focus on it because it's too depressing.
There are many interpretations that are explicit that tell us exactly what's going to happen. This is in a different league. It's in a different league that its interpretation is subject to the way we want to interpret it, and the outcome will depend upon that. Next words of Rashi. B'chodesh hashmini, koidim sheschilu lachzol v'livnes b'mulacha. This pasuk, this...
I have a question. What does Rashi mean, be'achar pitronot shel Yonatan? He's going to say it according to the Yonatan, or he's going to say... First, he's
going to
listen to him, and then he'll say his own.
I don't know. Probably both. I guess it depends. It seems like it means also. He seems the Rashi seems to be saying, I don't know if this is correct, that he's not that we're not subject to understand it only according to his interpretation. Targum Yonason can say what he wants to say, but we also can say what we want to say. Yeah. We're bold. We have a right. It's not Targum is not the only interpretation. There are other interpretations. I don't know. It doesn't mean that our interpretation has to be.
Rashi is giving us license to make our interpretation.
Exactly.
He's telling you, Targum Yonason will say something. It's not strictly his Targum.
Exactly.
It's a chaloim, and the chaloim is nitten lepisrin.
Exactly. It's subject to interpretation.
In fact, the Gemara that gives that talks over there talks about I believe it was Abaye and Rava that had the same dreams, and they went, one guy paid him and one guy didn't, and he gave two different pisrainas on the same dream, and both happened.
Exactly. All depends on the interpretation. He's being bold. Look, we learned many, many times the Malbum, who lived relatively very recently, he says chidushim that no one says. None of the Rishonim say what he says. The Rishonim, the people who lived over 1,000 years ago, and even when it says in the Gemara, they say pshat in the pasuk, and the Malbum is extremely bold, and he says ideas that are completely different.
Right.
And
always thought out of the box.
Exactly, and that's legitimate. We discussed this. That's what we said is the ikvaso de meshicha chutzpe yaske. What does it mean, chutzpe yaske? It doesn't just mean to have disrespect. It means the boldness to understand things differently than the way they traditionally were understood will increase, will multiply in a good way, in a good way. There's the traditional understanding of the pasuk, and with the greatest yiras haroimimus we have for Rashi and all of the Rishonim, but being that we're living today in a modern world, Tav Shin Pei, we have a right, we're entitled to look at the pasukim and provide interpretations based upon history, 1,500 years of Galus, plus everything that came before that, to have new insight into the pasuk that was never said or never even fathomed by the Kadmoinim. That's a chutzpah. What right do you have to be mechadesh an idea that no one said before? Who do you think you are? You're not even a speck of dust relative to Rashi and the Kadmoinim. That's right. We're not even a speck of dust relative to their greatness, but still the Torah was given to us also. And in our environment and circumstance, we have a right to be mechadesh. And our chidush is a chutzpah, not in a bad way, in a good way.
Yeah.
It's a boldness to look at the Torah and see things in a different light that was not seen and understood and comprehended in the previous generations, because the reality was different. It was a different world then. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in every generation. Yeah.
That's why in Chafetz Chaim, the Talmud was that if you used to ask a question on Rabbi Kivayger, you wouldn't be able to say, I'm not telling you who asked the question. And he said, because who said you, and you left by Tzarechian, who said you can't think of the answer?
He's quoting you.
Somehow, that he would say that the Abarbanel goes in the same vein.
Right.
I believe that's because the Malbim and the Abarbanel had similar experiences.
Yes.
And they were able to interpret, and they both, as I like to say, thought out of the box. So you'll find a lot of times similarities between Malbim and the Abarbanel just based on their life experience.
Exactly. That's the greatness of the Abarbanel and the Malbim. They took life. They took the generation that they lived in. They took their life experiences and they applied it to Tanakh and were able to derive guidance and insight into the Torah. It's one thing you take out the Torah and you separate the Torah from reality. You learn the Pasuk in Chumash, you read what it says in Rashi, you read what it says in the Targum, you read what it says in the Ramban, and you leave it there on the table. And then you go out into the world, and you go to work, and you do your thing, you live your life, and you come back the next day, and you open up this ancient book, and you study, and you read what it says, and v'zehu. That's very good, and for many people, that's really the only way you can learn, because who are we really to go and try to play with it? But people who are great, like the Malbim and the Abarbanel, and the greatest minds, when they learn Torah, they're learning Torah with life. They're not closing the Sefer when they walk out of the room. They're taking the Sefer with them into the real world, and they're using it as a guide, and their unique life experiences and the unique events that are happening all around us is providing commentary, a new dimension of commentary to the Torah. And it's not a disrespect to the Kadmonim. This is the Derech HaTorah. The Derech HaTorah allows you to understand hafoichba to kulaba. Don't close the Sefer when you walk out of the Beis Medrash. Keep the Sefer open, take it with you, and look at your daily activities as a tool to provide new insight. And if you'll say, well, what are you doing? But that's not what Rashi says. That's not what it says in the Ramban. That's right. I have chutzpah. Chutzpah yaske. Be'ikvas of the Mashiach, there are so many things happening in this world. The world is spinning so fast. Relative to the way it's spun before, yaske means a multitude, a proliferation. Over the generations, you'll have, well, every 100 years, you'll have one chiddush. You'll have one mechadesh. Because the world didn't spin so fast. So to provide new insight, you know, every once in a while, you'll get a new understanding. Ah, now we really can understand what it says in this pasuk. In the generation that we live in today, one day is like 1,000 years. There are so many things happening in this world because of technology, because of being social media, the global village. You're interconnected. Everything builds upon each other. The world spins very quickly. And there is the ability to be bold and to reveal new insight into the Torah, which would be considered a chutzpah, but it's not, as long as it's done with respect, reverence, to build upon the yesodus, the foundation of the Kadmainim, yaske, it's explosive. Okay, so let's leave it with that. Let's go further.
I think the reason for this is because the Torah is given to Klal Yisrael, like you say, to everybody. And also the Torah is given to each and everyone individually. Like the teacher, he has a class, and he has each and every student. So he talks to you and to you and to you and to you. That's what happened. The Torah also, he talks to, in general, what Rashi explains or whatever. And then I see the Torah talks to me differently. Like you said, not disrespect, but this is, I feel the Torah talks to me this way.
Exactly. It's a dangerous game, because unfortunately we see, look at the Christianity. Yeah. They've gone to an extreme with horrible abuse. And you know, it's a very dangerous game. It has to be done with extreme sensitivity and responsibility, built upon the yesoidus of the Kadmonim. But you see it's done. You see by the greatest people it's done. It's done. It's done by the biggest darshanim. It's done. It's done by Abarbanel, like the example of Abarbanel. Abarbanel is a modern man. Okay, 1492. Okay, he's a modern man relative to the Rambam and Rashi and the Ramban and the Goinim and the Gemara, and he says outrageous things. And these insights into Chazal is to him is poshut.
Malcolm was a right-wing Abarbanel. He tried not to cross the line. the Abarbanel just went all the way. The Malbum stopped and realized.
You hear what I'm asking? He's saying, hopefully you can hear what he's saying, because the microphone is not so. But he's saying the Abarbanel, he crossed the red line. The Malbum knew where to stop. That's the difference.
We still got thrown out of a few places.
Of Shamshon Fol Hirsch was also very novel.
He was considered a Moscow by the Kassidah.
Was it an
education? What did you say?
Well, yeah. The mountain used to put his toe a little past the
a line. Little bit past the red line. Okay.
As far as the Abarbanel, but still, look, but again, that's the. I had it once when I was learning with Reb Simcha Zatzal. We were learning a Rambam, and he said pshat. I was learning at that time just Reb Simcha and myself. And he said pshat, and I had the chutzpah to say, I think pshat is this way. It just so happened that the following day he went to New York, and he spoke to Rav Moshe, and he was talking about this Ramban, and I'm proud to say Rav Moshe agreed. He said, you have a good pshat, but I think pshat is more like me.
Wow.
So. And the net, when he came back, he gave the shear on that Indian, and he said both shot them in the shear. Moshe agrees with a bump.
Fascinating. Wow. Wow. What a covet. Wow. I tell you this many times. I used to say shiurim, you know, in the young Israel, my father's shul. And then every once in a while, I would speak. Let's say we are davening in a much more right-wing audience, like a real yeshivish crowd. And I could say the same exact word. I would say some my own vart, like own little twist on something, own little chiddush. So in the young Israel, when I would say it, it was like Torah Misinai. Torah Misinai. No one says, yeah, this is the pshat, this is, wow, it's a chiddush, and yeah. This makes sense. Shalom al Yisrael. When I would say something like that in a very right-wing audience,
yeah.
the very first thing, and the very last thing is, who says this? Where did you get this from? You made this up? You can't make this up. What right do you have? Mehecha Tesa. What's the makar? You can't come along and say, who are you? Who are you to go make up your own chidushim, your own pshatim? Mm. What are you doing? I was like, it's like the first thing a Ben Torah says is, who says this? Who says this? What's the makar? They're trained, Bnei Torah are trained, that everything has to have a source. It's a critical analysis. You have to have a source. To say a chidush, you can't say chidush. Unfortunately, it goes to an extreme. If you say something different and it's not rooted in an explicit chazal, then it's rejected. Unless you carry a lot of weight, unless you're accepted to be the Gadol Hadar, then you get away with it. But the average person, no matter how great you think you are, you'll be cut down because there's always a suspicion. There's a suspicion, and they're right. They're definitely right. There's definitely truth to it. There's a suspicion. Once you start going out on a limb and saying chidushim, maybe this chidush is true, but it's a slippery slope. Okay, it's a slippery slope where one thing leads to another, and before you turn around, people start doing really strange things. And it really is a very dangerous game. And you have to be on a level like the Abarbanel, the Malbum, to be able to have traction, to be accepted. I told you many times, we have read things here in this Sefer, in this Mikros Gedolos, that I guarantee, whether it was from the Radak, whether it was from the Malbum, even the Kadmoim, I guarantee you, if someone today would write these exact words today, in the year of Tav Shin Pei, and they would give this to an editor of Art Scroll, it would be outright rejected. Rejected. We don't print these type of things. And if it would be printed by accident, a week later, there would be a big cold curry that this Sefer is banned. You know, one should learn it. It's apikorsis. It's not correct. And then the sails will go all the way up to the sky. That's the best way to get your sefer sold, is to have it banned.
I told you once, when I was in Eretz Yisrael for 10 days and I was listening in the yeshiva in Gush, for every day I went to shiur all day. And at the last day I was there, I was in the office with the rebbeim, and we were talking, and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm writing up the shiur for the week, what I said. And I looked at the screen. I said, that's not what you said, shiur. He said, are you kidding? This is going to Brooklyn. I can't say what I said.
He can't hear. He can't say.
They would hang me.
Okay, so this is Rashi here. This is everything that we just learned over here is based upon Rashi. Rashi over here is Rabbi Kallis explained, expressed,
right,
is that this Nevuah of Zechariah is in a class by itself, because it's Rashi's words are, it's a chaloim. And a chaloim, kol ha-chaloim is holchim achar ha-peh. It's all up to you to interpret and to decide the outcome. And that interpretation obviously is going to be based upon your relationship with Hashem, your life experience, your hashkafa, and that can be an advantage, or Rachmana Litzlan can be a disadvantage. How are you going to be able to understand and relate to these nevuas? Everyone's going to be able to see something different in this nevuah. And we have to appreciate that that's the uniqueness of the Golas. Because, I mean, this Nevuah is the sign off. Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi is where Hashem is signing off. It's the communication is coming to an end. You see, it's interesting. We live in a generation where we pride ourselves with technology. Today, think about it. We today pride ourselves that we have technology. We can communicate with anyone, anywhere in the world in an instant. We can travel. We can travel to the moon. We can do anything. We can heat up food in a second. We can create things. We can do things that were never done before. Yet, the truth is, we really are backwards people. We're cavemen today. Because although we can communicate from one end of the world to another end of the world, we can no longer communicate with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It used to be we had wireless connectivity. We had much better than Verizon, Sprint, or any of these other companies. We had a direct communication with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We had an open door to see the whole world, all the secrets of the world in Shemayim through the Nevi'im. And as time went on, the technology, the spiritual technology, got less and less and less and less. And probably if you would analyze world history, you can probably find a correlation that the more of the spiritual technology shut down, zeh l'uma zeh, the mundane physical technology of this world increased. It's like there was a shift. You have to think of spirituality as technology. Just like with technology, you can do things that are impossible. A person, Rachmana Litzlan, is sick. So today, we have solutions for things that 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, Al Derech HaTeva, would be considered an open miracle to heal illnesses, to achieve things. It would be nothing less than an open miracle. We have technology. But think about that back in those times, there were people that were able to daven to Hashem, and real miracles were able to happen. People would daven, look in the Gemara, this person, give me your hand. Rabbi Yochanan, he gets up. The person could have been in stage 4, on the verge of death. Give me your hand. In the Gemara, he gives him his hand. All of a sudden, he gets better, 100% recovery. Stories of Trias HaNesim, stories of people have no parnasa in 1 second. Why? Technology. Not physical technology, spiritual technology. And as that spiritual technology was diminished because of our lack of connection, of holiness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he exchanged it with the advancement of the technology that we have today. Almost as a tease. As a tease to say, look, you can call up someone. I can right now get on the phone and I can speak to someone by the Kosel Hamaravi. It's like Hashem is saying, you fool. Wouldn't you, instead of being able to get up on the phone and talk to someone by the Kosel Hamaravi, wouldn't you like to be able to speak to Hashem directly? Wouldn't you like HaKadosh Baruch Hu to call you on the phone and say hello to you, wish you a good morning, a good day? Well, that's what a Navi did. A Navi had that direct connection. He had that cell phone tower that was direct. Ze l'umas ze. Chagai, Zechariah, u'malachi is the end of technology. Could you imagine today if they would make an announcement, the government would say, you know, there's so much trouble with all the cell phones and all the technology. You know, we've come to a decision, all the nations of the world have come to a decision that we're shutting down the internet. No more. So in 1 month, there will be no internet. You can throw all your computers in the garbage. Could you imagine such a thing? Could you imagine such an announcement by the governments of the world? People will be mass suicide. We're going to shut down the internet. That's exactly what's happening here. Chagai, Zechariah, u'Malachi, they are communication. This is the ultimate social media. The ability, a prophecy, it's not just one prophet. There's a trickle-down effect of prophecy. If this one gets a direct communication, it means this one's getting, he also has connectivity. He also has Wi-Fi. He also has some degree of connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making an announcement equivalent, mamish equivalent, to what would be if the governments of the world would say, we're shutting down the internet. There's going to be no more social media, no more cell phones, no more communication. We're going back to the dark ages. Get ready. Get ready. You have 1 month to prepare. Go back to what's so terrible. So you'll go, it'll be like the Flintstones. You'll go in, you'll push yourself in your, you'll push the cars with your feet instead of having the cars drive you there. Instead of driverless cars, you'll have to go and walk. Can you imagine such a thing? That's exactly what's happening. Exactly. Chagai, Zechariah, u'Malachi. They're saying, get ready. Technology is coming to an end. The real technology. It's amazing. And this that we have today is just the make-believe technology. It's all just a dimyon of the advantage of what we can do today in science of what they could have done back then. The real way, with the real. Look at the Ramban. The Ramban has a whole discussion that you're not allowed to go to a doctor. V'rapo yirape, mikan nidna l'rishus. You have permission. It's a shocking parish on the pasuk. The Ramban says, yeah, there are people out there in the world that don't have emunah. So the Torah is telling that those nebuch, those people can go to a doctor, but it's not the right thing to do. A person doesn't feel, you don't go to a doctor. You go to the rabbi. it's so funny. You go, you daven. What kind of business is this? You go to a doctor, he gives you medicine? It's a joke. It's a joke. With a person, it's like a person today who's ill. You go on the subway and you go to a homeless fellow, which there are, Baruch Hashem, they've taken them away from the subways now. But I say, maybe what could you recommend I do for my headache? Can you imagine going on the subway, finding a person who smells and sleeps in filth, and you wake him up and say to him, sir, I have a headache. Maybe you have a Tylenol for me? Maybe you have an idea what I should do, how to get rid of this illness? You'd be out of your mind to do something like that. Well, going to a doctor in the eyes of the Ramban is exactly the same, because here you can go to a world-class doctor, Harvard-educated, five-star doctor, has the best possible reviews online. You can go to him, and instead, you go on the subway, you pay $2.75, you swipe your Metro card, you look for the filthiest homeless person you can possibly find, and you ask him for medical advice. Good luck. That's what it means. You want to do it? So the pasuk says, v'rapo yirapeh. All right, if you want to do it, it's not an avera. You can do it. but you're a fool for doing it. Because you can go to the best of the best, to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, so such interpretations, that's what the Ramban says. Okay, now to us, obviously, that's not the way the world that we live in, obviously, because technology has shut down and we're living literally in the dark ages. We're living in the Flintstones. That's where we're holding today. Not the Jetsons, the Flintstones. All right, let's now go to the next pasuk. V'chodesh hashemini kodem sheshilu lachzav livnos b'melacha. This goes back to what Rashi and the Mefarshim said back in Sefer Chagai. The date, the calendar date of the second year of Daryavesh is before they built the structure. The foundation was already built. It was built 22 years ago in the time of Koresh. Kodem sheshilu lachzor. Lachzor means to return, to resume. Resume building Livnois b'melacha sharei b'eshem v'yabo l'chodesh ha-teshi'i, because we learned in Chagai that on the 24th day of l'chodesh ha-teshi'i is when they resumed Erev Chanukah, is when they resumed. And thus, b'chodesh ha-shmini in Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvain is when this vision came to Zechariah ben Berechiah. Let's look at
him. We learned in Ezra that Ezra came in the cover of darkness to tear down what had already been built. When he learned Ezra, he didn't tear down the foundation, just the walls that had been destroyed somewhat by the Aseret B'nai Haman.
Right. Well, so that's the question. Were they really destroyed?
Right.
It doesn't seem they were really destroyed. The parish is...
Well, it says there that he tore down, right? I mean, it's not a parish. It's in the...
It's a pasuk.
It is, right.
Okay. All right. Okay. So it was. Yeah. Okay. So it's now resuming. Resuming.
Everything's for publication. You have in this week's parsha. It's interesting. I just, because to highlight what you said again in a barbanel on this puzzle, Hakilu Elias called Zignation Techem, the Shokrechem Vadabrobios Nehemes Adwarn Waela. He said, when he says the following Sukkah Machre Mosif Yashpes Pas Yisun, he didn't say that to the Yisun. He said it to these. Hakilu Elai, I want to tell the leaders what to look out for, and I want you to know, Vadabrobos Nehem, he told it to them privately, he didn't want this disseminated to everybody because it's just too depressing.
Right.
He says, I'm telling, you know, certain people, a select few, and I'm telling you personally, but this is not for public consumption.
Okay. All right, let's take a look over here at the Radak. I put it on the screen. The Radak, Pasuk Aleph, Bachodesh Hashemini. Bachodesh Hashemini b'shna shayim l'lo yovesh ha'yid v'ar Hashem l'zachai ben Berechi ben Idoi ha'navi lemar. Hanavi shav el Zechariah. Hanavi, now what is Hanavi shav el Zechariah? V'efshar ki gam Ido ha'yinavi. Now, what is it? The word Hanavi, who is the Navi? Who is the Navi? Is the Navi Zechariah? Is the Navi Berechiah? Or is the Navi Idai? Idai we know is also a Navi. Hanavi, the word Navi Shav is referring to El Zechariah. The Efshar, Kigam Ido Hoya Navi. Idai, we know there was another prophet called Idai HaChayzeh in Divrei HaYamim. The Amruki who. Is there a spelling difference? Over here, he spelled Aleph, Ayin, Dalet, Vav, and there it's also spelled HaChoyzeh. V'amru, Kihu, Ido, HaChoyzeh, and Divrei Yamim. No, Ayin. What do you see? At the end. Okay, at the end. The end of the word, Ido. Okay, I don't know. I hear you saying, I don't know. Gamot Sanu B'medrash, Ido, Hanavi. So we find sometimes he's spelled with an Aleph at the end, sometimes without an A, with an A off of the end, but it's the same person. And that means his grandfather was a prophet. So it's in the family. It's in, and we have a Chazal tells us, whenever we have the name of a Navi and his father, it means that his father was also a Navi. And we have a grandfather, so obviously it's a Shalshelas, it's three generations. Chazal says, if you see three generations of Torah, then it's a guarantee. Lo yemushu mipicho, umipi zaracho, umipi zera, Zaracho Omar Hashem Me'ata V'ad Olam. Whenever you see three generations, and the Chazal said you have to see them together. It's a very big bracha, tremendous bracha to see, not just to have three generations, but the three generations should see each other. I always like to tell you how many years did Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov overlap? 15 years. There are 15 years. It's always a good topic of conversation. They ask a person, if you can go back in time, you can go back and live in any time that you want, to give you, put you in a time machine. But only one chance. When would you want to go back and live? Give me the year. You want to go back and watch Ma'aseh Bereishis, Adam and Chava, and the Nachash? You want to go back to Rabbi Akiva? You want to go back to Moshe Rabbeinu? You want to go back to Avraham? Who do you want to go back to? So I think a good candidate, I don't know, you have to, something's a really, really tough decision, but I think a very good tekufa to go back and experience would be those 15 years when Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were alive at the same time. Lo yamushu mipicha, umipi zar acha, umipi zera zar acha. Chazal say, if you have three generations, it's a guarantee. Me'atov yad olam, guaranteed, but they have to see each other. And that took place during those 15 years. It must have been a very good world when all three of them were living together. Must have been a very interesting time. Such a holy experience. And here we have three people. In this part, we have Zechariah, we have Berechia, and we have Idai. We know for a fact Idai was a Navi. We know for a fact that Zechariah was a Navi. And Chazal said, he mentioned a Navi's father, it also means he was a Navi. So we have over here a total of three people. Another interesting idea of a trial. Three people. Lamar. Next words in the Radak, Lemar li Yisrael, Kamosh Amar Achar Kain, V'yamar to Alehem, like it says in the next pasuk, Emor Lohem, Sheyizku, HaKetzef, Shekosef Hashem al Ho'ovois. Remember the anger Hashem had for the previous generation. V'heim dor Shechorav Boi Habayis. That's going to be the next pasuk. Go tell them, don't forget Hashem's anger. Look back at your ancestors. We're not used to this type of thing. When we look back at the Holocaust, we only look at the good. We only look at the good. We only look at the tzaddikim who were murdered, the Kiddush Hashem, the Mesiras Nefesh. Here, it's very strange. Here, he's telling them, only a Navi can do this. No one can dare do something like this to say, go look back and during the Holocaust, look at all the averos that took place. If someone says something like that, they're finished. They're toast. But here, the Navi is doing just that. 70 years later, just like today, it's 75 years since the Holocaust, and he's telling them, oh, you remember that? Remember 70 years ago? There was the Beis HaMikdash? Remember what happened? Whatever the number of people were killed, by Shem, there were 4 million people that were killed. The Bayis Rishon, it's not clear how many were killed. Remember there was a Churban? Everyone was murdered? Everyone died? You know why? Because Hashem was angry. Because they were all a bunch of wicked people. Okay, isn't that amazing to say such a thing? Who could say such a thing like that? The Haim Dar Shachalav Boyabayas, the Yiskrub Kibavura Maasem Horom Kotzva Shavolem. It's because they were wicked. That's why Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And make sure you don't repeat their evil ways. Lefichach Yeshuvu Haim El Hashem. You should be different than your ancestors. Velo Yiyu Ka'avoyseim. You should not be like your forefathers. Vehaim Hoyu Misatzlim. Furthermore, they were lazy in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Habayis Ki Lo Hechelu Livdois Ara Chodesh HaTeshi'i. Because they did not build until what it says there, until much later on. Ve'od Hoyu Bidei Ma'asim Ra'im K'mo Shekosef Sefer Ezra. They intermarried. So it seems over here that he's speaking over here to even to a later generation. Zechariah over here is speaking over here. I mean, this is the, when they build the foundation. He's coming to complain against even the survivors. Even the people from 22 years ago, he's also considering them from the previous generation. They were lazy. They did not have the fortitude to proceed and to go and build the Beis HaMikdash even illegally. I was reading yesterday about Rav Kalmanovich. Rav Shragafayevel Kalmanovich, is that his first name? Avraham Kalmanovich, the Rashid of Mir, and his work during the Vat Hatzalah, and he committed amazing crimes. He committed things that would almost be treason. The United States could have taken him. They could have killed him. They could have put him on trial for treason. They could have literally executed him with the greatest asaras. He couldn't care less. He literally could not care less, because it was to save another Jew. when he learned about what was going on in the Holocaust, and when he went to collect money and to maneuver and negotiate with the government to do things to save Jews, he did everything he can possibly do. The law did not stand in his way. He had to get it done. He had to save a Jew at any cost. Didn't make a difference what the laws are. The people who lived, who are here building the Bayis Sheni, the way the Radak is speaking is, Hashem told you, build the Beis HaMikdash. Don't worry about the government. Don't worry about Paras. Don't worry about the Persians and Paras and Madai. I'm on your side. We have Nevi'im here. They were prophets. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Ezra, Nehemiah. Don't worry about the law. They give you a stop order. Who cares? There's a stop order. Now, it's a very dangerous thing I'm saying, because today you can't say that. Today, there's no one today that can just say, oh, you know, we'll just do whatever we want to do. There's Corona. So who cares? We'll open up the yeshivas. We'll do whatever we want. Who could care less? It doesn't go like that, okay? That's not the way it goes today. Today, you build a building and there's a stop order. You don't work. There's a stop order. I don't play games today. But those are different times. Those were times when the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence was felt, was sensed, and had prophets. And Hashem said, build. Just because the government has come and put up a fence around the structure with big signs, stop order, illegal, there is going to be a penalty, imprisonment, death, fines. So, all of a sudden, everyone, Dina de Malchusa Dina, we're not going to build the Beis HaMikdash. We don't want to, you know, you have to have respect for the politicians, for the government. We have to have respect for them. Hashem says, have respect for me. I told you what to do. I have provided you with prophets. Again, dangerous game we're playing here, because today you don't do this. You know what's good for you, you don't do this. But that's what Zechariah here is saying in the Radak. Don't be like your parents. Don't be so afraid of the rules and regulations. You do what you're supposed to do. There's a rebellious spirit almost in Zechariah. You rebel against your masters to do Hashem's will. Okay, now let's take a look over here. I want to finish. I want to go tomorrow further. So we have the Malbum. There is no Malbum, and there's just one thing we want to do before, so we can go tomorrow to the next pasuk, and that is the Likutei Shas. So we're going to run through very quickly. Likutei Shas says, I'm just going to read it to you because it's late. It is what time is it? It's late. So let me just read it to you inside. B'chodesh Hashvi'i. We did this already. We already discussed at great length. Maybe I should just try to put on the screen so it'll be easier for whoever wants to see what it says here very quickly. We did this today. It's not going to take too long. Let me just instead read it to you. The big dilemma is, we spend a lot of time on this, when it comes to the Malchut Umos Olam, do we count from Nisan or do we count from Tishrei? When does the new year of their Malchus begin in our calculation? Chodesh Nisan or Chodesh Tishrei? HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. Lochem, it says, for you, Klal Yisrael, but for the Umos Olam, their years are calculated from Tishrei. So here, when it says that's the second year, it is the eighth month. So the eighth month means you have passed through the seventh month. And if you'll find another pasuk that says that it was the second year in the sixth month, Chodesh Elul, so then it was the second year of the sixth month. And here it says it's the second year of the eighth month. So when you go from six to eight, you're passing through Tishrei. So then the number should go from the second year of their Malchus to the third year of their Malchus. How come you're not going up a number? It must be that there are certain types of kings that they have the status of Jews to a degree, where we will calculate their years in Malchus like a Jewish king from Nisan and not from Tishrei. And who is a case in point? Daryavesh HaParsi. Why? Well, number one, he was probably Jewish, if he was indeed the son, the biological son of Esther, and his mother's Jewish, so he's Jewish. And number two, that's not really the reason, because he's representing the Persian government, but he's a good king. He's a good man. He's a good man in the fact that he allowed and encouraged Klal Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And as a reward for his good heart, we calculate his Malchus as if he was a Jewish king. That's a very fascinating concept. And the reason why this is so fascinating, which we did not discuss last time, is because it doesn't say this in this pasuk here. It says it really goes back to Chagai. We never spoke about this. Because in that very same pasuk, it says, the Pachas speak to Zerubbabel, the Pachas Yehuda. Now look at this. How many kings can you have at one time? We're coming to Rosh Hashanah. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Ein Shnei Melochim Meshamshim B'Keser Echad. You only can have one king at a time. If Zerubbabel is a Pachas.
Pach.
Pach? But it calls him a Pach. It says they're Pachas.
No.
It says they're a Saf. Pachas.
The Saf means of.
Pachas Yehuda. The governor of. Fine. He was the Pach of Yehuda. He was the governor. Why was he a Pach? He was only because he was only a Pach and was not a Melech. Someone's got to be the Melech. So you know who the Melech will be? Daryavesh. He's the Jewish king. But if Daryavesh is not the Jewish king, then who would be the Jewish king? Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, this concept that Daryavesh is calculated after the years of Nisan is not just an accident. It's because there has to be Malchus. The Malchus has to continue in Klal Yisrael. It would have been ideal that the Malchus should continue the way it meant with Zerubbabel. But because we failed, so the Malchus was taken away. The Malchus was, there has to be Malchus. You can't have anarchy. You can't have chaos. And in Judaism, there has to be someone that's going to be considered the Jewish king in some form, in some respect. Our Malchus, it's like a real jab. Our Malchus has been given to the Goyim. And the way we torture ourselves in that recognition of our failure, look, his Malchus is calculated from Nisan. But he's a Goy, or he represents the Goyim. Chazal say that when the Churban Beis HaMikdash happened, all of the gifts that were meant for us were stolen by the Goyim. All of our talents, our wealth, our resources, our Koychos HaNefesh, they took, they stole. They stole our Malchus. Because Zerubbabel is only a Pach. He's only a Pach. Where'd the Malchus go? Oh, it's in the second year of Daryavesh, the eighth month. Oh, excuse me, if it's the eighth month, we've just passed from 6 to 8. That means he goes up one notch to 3. What are you doing? This is Persia. What are you doing? What, were you going to say his Malchus begins from Nisan? That's only by us. Guess what? They stole it from us. They took the Malchus. You're only a Pach. Because of your averos, so it's not just stamazoi. It's another dimension to what it means that Daryavesh is calculated from Chodesh Nisan. The pshuta shel mikra is he's a good man. He's a good man, and when you're a good man, we give you a gift. So we consider you one of the boys. Okay, it's like with and Trump, the slogan. So show me a big sign in Eretz Yisrael, big banner. Trump, Mishuga, Avol, Mishalanu.
That's an actual sign?
Yeah. Mishuga, is that Aval Mishalanu, but he's one of us. He's part of the team. He may be crazy, but he's part of the team. Mishalanu. So that's the pashup shot in this pasuk. Dar Yavesh. It's a Shegetz. I know you can say he's a Jew, you can't say that about him. But he represents Persia. The Persians, the Shkotzim. Aval Mishalanu. He's one of the team. He's part of the team. That's Pashup Shat. That's why Chodesh Nisan. But the Drush is Hashem is giving us very powerful Musar. You people, you blew it. You messed up big time. You could have been the top of the world. You could have had your Beis Hamikdash. You could have been all over. And now because you blew it, all of your talents, your koichos hanefesh, are going to be stolen and snatched away by your enemies. Even the malchus. The malchus of Chodesh Nisan, what it represents, that should be yours. Look who got it. Daryovesh, the Persians, they got it. And what are you? You're just a pach. You're just a governor. You have no power. You're just a politician. You don't have any real shlita. I'm reading the words. Rabbi Lezab, B'shem, Rabbi Chanina, after Malchimus Oilam, Ein Bainim Elam Nisan. So he says in general, Malchim Nisan, B'shvashish, B'shnash, Shem Le Yavesh, B'chodesh, Hashemini, B'shnash, Shem Le Yavesh. V'im Bainim Yitishrei, Noema, B'shemini, B'shnash, Shalosh. Okay, so that was the first pshat, we learned this Gemara before, is all Goyish kings. Then it's Haifa. Remember Haifa? We learned this. Haifa, he was the name of Atana. This is a Yerushalmi. In Yerushalmi, you have different names. You have a whole different cast of characters in Yerushalmi. Not your typical names. Along comes Haifa, Shemini Nemar Techila, Ella, She'ein Muktam Umu'uchar Batoira, Unavu Zacharia Nemar Techila. I'm sorry, something different. The first opinion is that Malchei Umay Sa'olam, we count Nisan. Like I said before, not all of them. The vast majority, no. The vast majority we count from Chodesh Tishrei. This particular one, we do Mitoiva. Haifa was the one that said, we have a whole shiur on this, not doing it again. Haifa says, no, indeed, we really count from Tishrei. We really count from Tishrei. And here when it says in the eighth month, this nevuah took place first. There are two nevuahs. There's a nevuah in the sixth month and a nevuah in the eighth month. The assumption is they're in chronological order. You go 6 to 8. You go 6 to 8, then you should go from 2 years to 3 years. The fact that we maintain 2 years shows that we're not changing when we go through Tishrei, which is the seventh month. We're maintaining that same number. No, that's not correct. Really, we do go. Really, when you go from Tishrei, you go up in number. But the prophecies are not in order. The first prophecy took place right after, a month after his second year. It was Tishrei. The number of his malchus went from 1 to 2. And now it's Chodesh. And now it is Chodesh 8. Chodesh Cheshvan. It's 1 month into his second year of Malchus, and we have a prophecy. Oh, but there's another prophecy that said earlier before, that says took place in the sixth month in the second year of Malchus, which means in Elul. Yeah, that prophecy took place later. That's later. Because now it's the eighth month of a second year. You go to 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The month, the number of the month is going to follow the Jewish months. The year is following Tishrei. So even though here it's 8, but in the numbering system it's 8, is the second will of the second month. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And when you get to 7, that's when you go to year number 3. But it's out of order. That's right. Ein muktam u'me'uchar. It's not in order. The prophecy is not in order. And we use that as an explanation to show that these prophecies of Zechariah and Haggai Malachi are not necessarily in order. Even though you would expect there to be a sequence. No. Ein muktam u'me'uchar. Even the order of the prophets. And we tried to use that to explain a halachic, interesting thing that people do on Shabbos Shuva, where they go backwards. They go backwards in the prophets. How are you allowed to go backwards in the prophets? So we tried to explain it's based on Haifa. Because Haifa says explicitly, when it comes to the prophets, Ein muktum u'mu'uchar. There's no forwards, there's no backwards. The dates speak for themselves. And because there's no muktum u'mu'uchar, that's why we're able to break the rules and Shabbos Shuva to read the Haftorahs backwards. That's our ship. Okay, that concludes this. Tomorrow, Mir Shem, going on the Pasuk Beis. We'll take a short break, and we're going to learn today all about the laws, all about the sounds of Shofar. We're going to integrate Halacha and Machshava into one shir. We want to talk about the laws of the sounds, the length of the sound of a tekiya, shon teruah, tekiya, all the various details, and bring out an idea from the Halacha. See you back in a few moments.
Where's the word from our sponsor?
We want to welcome to the physical location of Young Yisrael of Midwood, Rabbi Chol Miller, and Rabbi Shmuel Mayevsky. They're both present.
Wow.
They're both present here. I'm facing them. I'm like a bank. I'm in a bank. I'm in front of a glass screen. The only problem is there's no money here.
Rabbi, why are you wearing a mask?
I keep texting back and forth with Mark.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, Hiskil Hashir Kumirona Balaila. That's what I told him.
Oh, okay.
I spoke to
Mark. Are you sure you're not looking in the mirror?
He landed and he was home. Because I asked him, if you're landing, I said, Baruch HaTov
Uvoech. I'm a good
today,
guy.
Is he wearing a mask? Everybody's so wearing it's time for Shir.
Okay.
He said, not today. I said, take a good nap and get
I'm a good guy.
How was the flight? How was the flight?
Listen, it's hard the first day, you know. Yeah. But he's a good sleeper on the plane.
He travels a lot, obviously. He does
this. He knows he could sleep 6 hours in a row.
He goes very often.
He came on the airplane right to the Shia when he got in at 5:30. I said, he said, no, I was sleeping 6 hours straight.
Mm-hmm. You can do that.
I can't do it. 30 years since I stopped on a plane. But I see the evidence.